Plot: If I Had Wings, 2013. A policeman father gets a repeat juvenile offender to be a cross-country running partner for his blind high school son. Voice over off.
When you're blind and watching movies, what will you find? A blind superhero whose superpowers are acting like he's not blind. A sighted actor over-dramatically touching people's faces. Or maybe the whole joke is that they're bumping into different places. A spectacular
Welcome to Citizen White Cane, the podcast that has its own agenda to run through every depiction of blindness on screen. My name is Sky McLeod.
And I'm Melissa Buckta.
And today we're talking about If I Had Wings.
Yay!
Is that like said in the movie at all?
No. That line? No, it's like from the song, I think.
Okay. No, no. It's from the credit song, which apparently is a American Idol blind winner or something.
Oh, seriously? That guy? Obviously cannot remember his name, but there's three of them.
Yeah. Conrad and I went through all of the blind musicians, and there's like at least three
from American Idol. Yeah, the one that I'm thinking of is
just an all time, but three of them were Idol. Gotcha. I mean. Yeah.
The one that I was thinking of is the blind pianist. That was the first one that I saw. Scott was his name or something? I don't know. I don't remember.
Maybe. Okay, this is terrible. I don't remember, but I'm sorry, dude, but like, it's not a very good song.
Oh, ouch. Coming in hot.
I know. It's just like, it's the end credit song.
Well, and it's folksy.
Kind of. I mean, they have a Ray Charles song, and you're like, yeah, good music. It's not just the blindness thing. yes, we have, those are the blind people in this movie, technically, who are blind themselves.
Ray Charles?
No. Yep. Because we have a sighted actor playing a blind character, but he does a fine job. We've seen much worse performances.
I believed him, definitely. That he was trying. Yeah.
I'm not saying that I believed
he's blind. No, no. But you know, I believed his... the embodiment of this like high school kid.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. And he was also this like, well, it said on IMDb 2013, though I thought somewhere it might have said 2014. So it's in that area.
It's debatable.
It's always one of those weird things. But he was born in 91, which means he would have been like, because he'd be 2 years older than me. I was, I think, 20. So he was like 22 or 23,
well,
or something.
Yeah, that's the age range of high school kids when they cast.
Right, because they're above 18.
Right. If you look at any of those shows, they're going to be, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. Yeah. Yeah.
So and then if you're closer in that way, yeah.
Right. And then if you're watching Grease, they're all 30-year-olds.
Right, yeah. Right. And you're just like, well. But I mean, yeah, he's close enough that you don't. He does a fine job of like.
I didn't feel like I was watching adults.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's good.
Which is good. It's great on their part, you know. Yeah, like, I feel like I'm watching kids.
The friend, the other lead,
Brad. What is his name?
Yeah, Brad.
The character's name. We should, before we go any further, we should say that Richard Harmon plays Alex.
Yes.
And Brad, his friend and guide, well, in the movie, future friend and guide, is played by Jaron Brandt Bartlett.
Yes. Spoilers that it's his future friend.
Yeah.
It does happen later on in the movie. No, I mean, I thought he did a good performance.
I thought he was really great.
He's very likable.
He's very likable. And, you know, he's asked to do a lot in the movie.
Sure.
Alex has an arc. Absolutely. Kind of. But Brad, it's hard because I don't want to be like, it's really Brad's story. Because it's not. It's both of their stories. But Brad's character has an arc.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he has more of an arc. I think I kind of like this better than 23 Blast, which it's pretty similar. Like, it has a lot of thematic similarities.
Well, and I was also thinking a lot about Going to the Mat.
Yeah.
This. And I think I like this better than Going to the Mat, honestly, because this feels like there's stakes.
And it, I mean, yeah, and they do have, the stakes are it's one of those where they quickly are like, it's okay, never mind, you know, kind of like, this is a thing that could happen, and then it's like, oh, it's all good now, oh no, now there's another thing that could happen, okay, now it's all good. This is like kind of that progression, but Going to the Mat just also was just a hot mess in a way that this was a little more coherent. It well, like had feels, a thing, it was doing something.
Right, this feels competent.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because this... because we were talking about it before we got on mic, this is not based on a true story or on a true athlete.
Yeah, well, and I also like that they, even though it's not based on a true story, they also didn't make him, like, go blind, which I was like, yes, fuck yeah. Like, he was just like, I'm blind since I was two, so I don't really know what it's like to be a sighted person.
Right, and so it's not about watching him trying to overcome something.
Right. It, like, made it way more of an identity. And I thought that was, like, I was like, yeah, that's why you do that shit. Like, that makes it, it made it so much easier to watch. And I think it, like... enhance the movie, and I'm always saying that would enhance a movie, well, but it's like, it's hard to,
right, because then I started thinking a little bit about myself, and I'm like, yeah, okay, great, I'm actually kind of sort of seeing a little bit of myself in this character, which is really more
relatable.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, it is kind of sad when we have, like, even it's teenagers. We've watched, like, all these teenagers who have to go blind, and you're just like, a lot of people, if you're blind as a teenager, you probably have been blind for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's probably been the majority of your life, and obviously that's not always the case. Like, that, you know, there's, it varies, but I think it's like, what happens when you see someone go blind is you're not seeing someone who has an identity, you're seeing somebody who is learning how to be a different person, I guess.
Right,
and it's just like, not as fun to watch. It's not like, oh, this is a person with my identity. It's like literally like, oh, this person's like being mad about something that I live with every day and I'm not mad about, and so I don't really understand anymore like what the point is.
Right.
Whereas this was just, you know, he'd live with his blindness and he had confidence in it, and that was really nice to see. It reminded me, it had some like The Way He Looks vibes, except for
a little bit, you know,
everyone on IMDb and Letterboxd, I think it was, were really mad at the ending of this movie.
Right, that they didn't get together.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I saw like 10 reviews that were like, I like this movie, but the ending was dumb. I didn't understand why they were, why they didn't get together. Why they had to make it heteronormative.
I mean, look,
that's fair.
I'm the last person who's going to sit here and support heteronormativity, but there is definitely something to be said for like male friendship.
I know. I was kind of conflicted thinking about that because, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, they play it in such a weird way because it is like, there's a scene, which, my least favorite thing, face touching. But, like, there's, like, a weirdly, like, they have, like, a decent amount of, like...
Chemistry.
They do. And, they like, do. And there's more of a sexual energy between them. And they also feel like, especially for Alex's love interest, you, like, don't even totally know which person it is at all. Like, he barely interacts with her, so you don't...
Wait, not Alex's love interest, Brad's love interest.
Amy, Conrad.
Oh, see? I completely forgot.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I remember her last name was Conrad because my partner.
Yes.
And Amy was just an easy enough name to remember, I guess, for me. But yes, you don't know who it is. At one point, someone says Amy, and it's like to a group of girls. So you don't actually know which one's Amy, but you kind of guess. It's the one that when he was being abused by the jock was defending him, kind of.
Yeah.
She like didn't help. But she really was, like, there. So I was like, this is kind of a...
It's weird. Well, it's almost like the movie being like, they're straight.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're definitely straight. And then, of course, like, the last shot in the movie is them swimming in a lake together. Which, again, there's nothing erotic about it. There's nothing... It's not shot in a way that would suggest... But... You know,
it's
we're gonna read into it.
It is hard because I'm like, yeah, I believe in male friendship, but it is a weird thing of just.
Well, also, this is not a true story, so why not have them get together or whatever?
It's true.
Or maybe there was just too much for them to tackle or something. Because I mean,
this is the promise. It's pretty wholesome.
It is pretty wholesome.
You're not allowed to be wholesome and gay, even though of course you could be wholesome and gay.
Sure. Well, and you're already kind of tackling like his blindness and poverty and
right. and like First Nation
First
people.
Nation right Which it, is, like, it doesn't kind really it, it doesn't really come up, but I was like, oh, this is a thing. Oh, this is actually kind of cool.
I kind of okay, yeah, it would have been sweet if it was about like a love story between a blind boy and a First Nations boy. It was like got into some trouble, and the you know, the blind boy experiencing ableism, and there's like class issues, and then it's like they have to come out to their parents, but their parents probably would be fine with it. They seem like they were chill about that kind of thing.
I would yeah, I would maybe have a little bit of trepidation about Brad's dad, but he actually comes around.
Yeah, I liked him.
I really liked him a lot.
He was a great, he was a very fun character to watch.
Yes.
Should we, I mean, I guess we've like, we're kind of talking about it without really going over the whole plot.
Well, so also, so yeah, Brad's dad played by Lauren Cardinal.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. It's a great performance.
It really is, because he has to start off as this really awful character, this really, really prickly character. And it's so weird, because I could see the plot points from this coming a mile away.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
See in quotation marks. But still, but you know. And yet his dad's transformation, I just completely bought. I was like, okay, you know what? All right, this is amazing.
Yeah, it worked. It worked pretty well, because at the at the beginning he's kind of like, so we have Brad, who is a delinquent, basically.
Oh my god, I was really worried, because literally the first time you see Brad, he's in like full I'm a thief gear, and just like so swipes good. This dude's like bank bag or something, and then freaking takes off, and I'm just kind of like, what is this?
What is this movie?
Yep.
So I mean, I kind of loved it. It pulls the weirdest punches, and I love it for that. I kind of really liked this movie. It's so silly, and it's just kind of adorable. But yeah, so he like steals the guy's bag, and then he gets caught, and so we have Alex's dad is a lovable,
just this like super doofy
doofy parole officer,
but for kids, like
for delinquent
juvenile
children,
kids,
exactly.
Alex's dad, also played by Greg Burrico, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but there it is.
And he is very endearing as well, and he is a parole officer, but he's also he's a very likable like parole officer.
But, yeah, because
kind of like cares about the kids, I guess, in a way that's like, it doesn't make him seem like, you know.
Right, and at first I was kind of like, oh wow, you're this kid, Brad is fast, and you have an idea, and you're just gonna like kind of use this kid to get your son. But it's not about that. Like, he cares as much about Brad not going to prison.
Yeah, which was, I thought that part of it was sweet. It is so funny that he's like, I mean, it's like, of the ways of abusing the system, this seems like the chillest way
to
possibly
definitely.
Abuse the system.
Also,
he's just like, he's like, you're going to run with my disabled son, because the track team coach, it is not going to allow Alex to compete unless he finds someone who can run as fast as he can to be a guide.
And
he can run so fast.
Right. And poor Alex's dad is just not that guy. Nope.
Which is funny. That's a kind of a sweet, I thought that was a cute, it's a cute like plot thing. And, you know, and so then he like basically pulls strings to like get. I like how he's just like, he goes basically rogue at this point, because the mom is just like, don't do this, this is silly. And then Alex is like, I'm just not going to be able to compete. And Brad is like, I guess I'm going to jail. And he's like, he doesn't tell anyone, and he just sets it all up.
Yep. He's like, no. Alex's mom, played by Jill Hennessy. Also, who I really liked. Honestly, this was another set. We have two sets of parents who are really great.
Yeah, they were sweet. And then the coach, who I'll let you get now, because she is actually the sister of what is it, Robert?
Our director.
She's the daughter of the director.
Coach McVie, played by Jessica Harmon.
Right. So technically they're siblings, the Alex and the coach in real life.
Yeah,
we just meet her when she's like, he needs the guide, and they're set up like there's this douchey jock character Tyson. That we have to have. Yep. Yeah. Which I feel like we always have to have that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But
yeah.
He was, I like how he didn't get redeemed at all.
No. I mean, he does some really awful things.
Yeah.
One thing in particular to Alex. And I found myself kind of flip-flopping about Alex's decision because on the one hand, I absolutely think that Coach McVee was doing the right thing. Tyson, like
kicking him out.
He's cut from the team. No questions asked. Like, you're done.
Because he makes a video where he's basically just, like, sneaking up. Just being, like, an asshole. Yeah. Like, yeah. Which is just, like, what a fucking stupid kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you're making a video of being an abusive asshole. Like, why are you so stupid? Anyway.
Right. Right.
But, yes. But, yeah. So, that's why he gets kicked off the team. But then Alex is like, no.
No. Give him, you know, give him. I need the chance to. To beat him, basically, to not hide behind the adults. And as much as I'm like, but Tyson deserves to be, I think beating him in the race is much more of a punishment.
Yeah,
in this case,
I think I totally saw. I mean, I think both sides, because I was just like, I mean, if it was me, I probably wouldn't have even thought to do that. I would have just been like, yeah, you're going off the team. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I really do understand what. That decision didn't feel like unrealistic or like, you know, I bought that as a decision that he made to like to still try to beat him instead of getting him kicked off the team. And then he gets kicked off the team. What if he had won? Would he not get kicked off the team?
No, he probably still would have gotten kicked off the team at that point. I think going into the race, he must have known like there's no good outcome.
Right.
For me for this. Like,
yeah, what if he just didn't? What if he was just like, no, I'm not gonna do it?
Well, then that's it then.
But then he looks like he couldn't beat him. So it is true that he kind of like to maintain his social status, he had to try. Because if he was like, no, I'm not gonna try, then it just made it, it's like, okay, you're scared of the blind kid beating you.
Exactly. And he gets his ass absolutely handed to him at the end of the race, which is great. Because as they're starting the race, Alex and Brad look over at him and they're like, hey Tyson, kiss my ass, and then they start running and I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's so God, I think ass is the only, no, ass and damn are like the only cuss words that are in the entire movie, but it's just like, yeah.
this wholesome movie, that is actually in some of
Reviews?
Not even reviews, but you know, those sites where they're just like, this is what's in this movie.
Oh, sure.
Like, but their description, they were like, this has wholesome values, like. It's very funny. They were like, it has an anti-bullying message. And also, like, it's about, like, you know, not treating people with disabilities and First Nation people differently, which is, like, it's very funny to me. And, like, class issues, too.
Yeah. Well, and it shows, also, none of the characters are perfect. I mean, as much as Alex and Brad's friendship is tenuous in the beginning, and by the end, they're firmly cemented as friends, you know, Alex still slips up and says a really stupid thing when he can't find his watch, when him and Julia are in his room.
Yeah.
And literally his first thing is like, well, I can't find it. Well, Brad asked me if it was gold. Well, he probably took it.
Right.
You know, and his watch is like,
which when he's coming back into the house, you're like, what is a dumb thing that Alex is going to say to create the main conflict in this movie?
Oh, no, exactly. I was like, oh, no, because Brad's coming up the stairs and it's just them in the room. And I was like, yeah, we're setting this up. Oh, my God.
And I was already mad about it.
I was very worried. I'm like, do we really have to have a third act breakup? Do we really have to have a third act
breakup? Because why would he leave and come back if they weren't going to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and
they
kind of had to. I was already excited that he came back because he had accepted the shoes and is like, you know what? No, I am going to stay for ice cream because I am your friend. Like, And then that's, again, this movie is so filled with cliches, and yet I very much enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I think it's because it also just doesn't really have any offensive things in it. Like, other than the word very, ass, of course.
Not offensive. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
But it is like, it's just as a, in an offensive and the ableist kind of
the
way.
The only, honestly, the things that truly rubbed me the wrong way about the movie was the treatment of Coach McVee.
Yeah, it was so weird.
It's the only thing I'm just like, okay, this is very, very, very weird. It's kind of sexist also.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, in a way, there isn't really like a very like, the female characters are kind of
Well, and when you have like Tyson, like when we meet Coach McVee, like the first thing Tyson says is like, yeah, Coach Hottie, here comes Coach Hottie. And I'm like, you said that to her face. What are you doing?
It's so gross. I mean, but Tyson is the, is supposed to be the terrible person.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, he is, he's racist. It's like extremely racist and extremely sexist and extremely ableist. You're like, okay. I mean, like he was not believable as a person. Oh, yeah, no.
It's like subtlety, subtlety is not this movie's selling point.
Here. Yeah, for sure. He, like, literally, you're just like, why does this kid have friends? Like, he's such a piece of shit. Like, it's just very baffling.
And we do see, like, you know, Mitch, the one guy, like, Mitch comes over and you know, tries to stand up for Alex, and he even volunteers to run with Alex in the final race.
That's sweet.
Yeah, when we think that Brad isn't going to show up.
Right, but then he does, which I don't really, I think he just, is it, what is her name? Julia. Julia, yeah. Okay, Julia.
I do like that it was Julia that comes and gets him.
I think that's sweet.
That was really sweet.
I mean, her, like, lecturing him was like, okay, I guess. Like, I didn't totally know what won him over. Like, it didn't feel, that felt resolved in kind of like, oh, we gotta resolve this kind of way. Like,
right.
It's just like, she just kind of is like, what is, I'm trying to even remember what she says. She's like, he likes you, you know?
Like, yeah, like, you guys are friends. He said something stupid that he feels terrible about saying.
Yeah,
but you guys are, but you guys are friends.
Which, I mean, sure. It's just like, that seemed kind of, I mean, yeah, I guess. It just, I wanted, since this is the climactic conflict, I was like, I wanted to have more of, like, a satisfying resolution than him just being kind of talked down to by her.
And then he's just like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, well, I guess I have to go.
Because it's like, she was right, but at the same time, it's like, it didn't really take, someone could have just called him and said that. Like, it wasn't really.
Well, she also.
And she kisses him, too.
She does kiss him. Well, she opens her speech with, like, what are you doing? Alex needs you.
What are you doing? Which is true.
It is true. Yeah. I mean,
that was a sweet thing, is they both needed each other in a way that felt like. That's why it was so sweet. It was just like, it didn't. I like things where the moral is like, yeah, it's okay to like to depend on other people who you can trust. Like, that's not a bad thing. Right. It's just like.
Because there are definitely days when I'm stubborn as hell and I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm blind. I'm going to do it. Like, you can't tell me otherwise. And I'm going to do it myself. And it is about learning to ask for help and knowing and learning that that doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't make the other person less of a person.
It just makes you have people in your life, which is also something that humans literally need. You die when you don't have that.
Yes. And when they worked together, they won the race.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in the end, like Brad, you know, let go of Alex and was like, run. It's straight. Like, you know the course. Like, run. Right.
Because he was like, this is on you. Which was sweet.
This is your race.
Because it was never, I mean, I think for Brad, it obviously was never about the running specifically. It was just kind of, I guess for him, it was just more about showing that he had pro-social behaviors.
Right, like, I'm going to do this because this is going to keep me out of jail.
Right.
I kind of have to do this. And then it became, oh, wow, I've met this amazing person and have made these really awesome friends and these people, these, you know, quote unquote, I don't want to be like these good people or whatever, but these, you know, quote unquote, better people than the people I was hanging out with. These people love me. They actually have my back. They'll go to bat for me. They'll support me. You know, whereas the dudes I'm hanging out with
were also like thugs. Tyson and then
yeah.
Their only personality was to be douches.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, and then they almost drag his little brother into their schemes.
Right. And then that scene was so silly. You have to suspend your disbelief so much. Trying to do was so like kind of funny and endearing to me that I was like, okay, this is ridiculous.
It felt so good because oh my god, because
the dad comes
Brad's
in
dad, and rescues his son basically
while he's like about to rob
mm-hmm.
this old lady.
And he's just like, if you ever come near my boy again, my boys again, rah, rah. and I'm just like, go Brad's dad,
He solved his children's problem through yelling at other boys.
That's true. But well, but not only that, but like being there, his kids, yeah. caring about his kids. You know, he could have, like, Brad called him and told him what Ricky was planning. He could have blown him off and just been like, well, he's just going to end up like you.
Well, because his boss is like, you can't leave.
And he's like, wow, this involves my boys. I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm like, yeah. I hope he didn't get fired. I know, me too. He's going to need that money.
Me to, like, too. I was like, oh, God. He cannot lose this job.
but yeah, I mean, the whole climax, so much. Of it was, you know, a little silly. Like, it was like
a little schmaltzy.
You had to, like, suspend your disbelief for almost every single plot point, but it was still like, so, you know, that kind of made it, like, a little bit weird in a way, because you were just like, I have to keep suspending my disbelief this whole time. But at the same time, none of it was like, it was all just so silly that, like, you could kind of, like, kind of, it's charming in, right. like, how silly yeah. it was. Yeah. It wasn't like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, right. no one would act this way. Or, like, you know, why is this person being abused when they don't need to be, you know, like, for the movie, you know, like, that. It's not like any of that kind of stuff. It was just, like, the resolutions were all very silly. But it was, you know, but that's better than, I think, when you're creating conflict that is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Because the, but which at least, they do a little
at
bit.
At least this conflict, the thing with Ricky and Brad's dad, at least this conflict has been built up. And yeah. I believed it because this was something that had been happening in the background. And this finally comes to a head.
Right.
The watch thing just comes out of freaking nowhere.
Yeah, it is that specific thing.
Like, Alex has been hanging out with Brad for, well, I don't know, we'll say like a month or whatever this movie takes place in, like the timeline or whatever. But they've been hanging out for a while. They've been practicing together, da-da-da-da. You know, I'm pretty sure by this point Alex knows that that Brad's not going to take his freaking
yeah,
watch.
It's really true, because I was just like, that would have kind of made sense at the beginning, or like even when they were starting to, like, sure. you know, bond or whatever, but right. it was still on shaky ground. Like, I could have believed it at that point. But you're right. It's like, I think I was just in my head of like, what is going to happen? So I was just kind of like waiting for something to, like, him to overhear something. So oh, I was yeah, just sure, like, I was sure. kind of like in that mindset. But like, now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. It doesn't make any sense at this point in the movie. They really do trust each other. And he hasn't made any reason. Like, Alex doesn't have any reason to suspect him at this point. Like, you know, nothing has happened recently mm-hmm. that lost his trust.
Right. And Brad only mentions this flip and watch one time.
Right.
You yeah. know, and Alex is like, yeah, my grandfather gave it to me. It might be gold. I don't know, but it's you know, it's a special watch or whatever.
Right. And then it, like, never comes up again. At the beginning of their interaction. It's like one right. of their first, which is why it would have made sense after their first interaction
if
for that to happen.
Maybe it's stolen the watch.
Right.
Sure.
Or like if he hadn't stolen it, but then it's like, you know, they're slightly getting to know each other. Yep. And then he's like, what?
Or even if he did, you know, this is a time for Alex to maybe forgive him or like talk it out or something. But
yeah.
No, it's just, again, it's a third act breakup. It's conflict
kind of
for conflict's
forced,
sake.
Yeah. It's hard because the movie, like, because it solves its conflicts so quickly, it also has to keep coming up with new ones.
Yeah, with new things to. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also part of the problem, is because nothing takes very long to get resolved. It means that they just kind of, by the end, have run out of, not run out of ideas, but I think they had to, like, stretch it more by the end, because they were like, mm-hmm. okay, we've already done, like, all the other things we could think to do. I mean, Brad gets kicked off the team, and you know, at one point.
Right.
That's earlier
on. Well, and then Coach McVee doesn't want to work with him because he pushed her down the stairs. Right, and I'm kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, that's a
extreme.
Non-starter.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you want to have and then, of course, it comes out
that she
slipped.
Which is like that whole thing. I was like, that is a plot device that makes no sense.
It's also just, she just tosses it off. Like, yeah, I know you didn't push me. I slipped.
Right,
you know,
which is like,
and I'm like, wait a minute. What?
Because okay, then wait. It's like, why is she so mad at him for doing it at the beginning? She's like, I don't trust you. I don't want you here. Like, which I'm like,
I'm
that
like, yeah,
made
that
sense.
That made sense because yeah. he assaulted you.
Right. Of course you. And it, yeah, that bothered me when she said that. Because it's also like at that point, you've had to like judge him based on this like information the whole time. So you're like, he has to come a long way from like pushing the teacher down the stairs.
Right.
Like, you know, it's hard to like come back from that. Like, you could, but it's just like, but at the same time, he just never seemed like he was that kind of person.
No,
like, that's just
I mean,
such an extreme thing to
right.
do.
Right. And I mean, the whole moral of this movie is you don't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a person by what they look like or what their background is or by what their ability is.
Right.
I get it.
And what they've done in the past, I guess.
Sure, but like, I guess. I mean, great. Like, it's a great message. It's a great, it's a good moral. It's something that we all should strive for and learn. But I don't know, just that the whole, and then it's just tossed off. And I'm like, whoa, are we going to come back to that?
No. Right. It's like, maybe if he had like insulted her in like a really specific way or something, you know, like it's, or something where you're kind of like, okay, that was, but like assaulting a teacher, it's just like, that's a serious step in a certain direction. Yeah, exactly. Like the fact that he can still go to school is like shocking to me.
Right. There's no strike against.
And also like, you just, at that point when she says she slipped, you're like, what the fuck? Like, this kid had to suffer because, you know,
you didn't come clean. Is it just because you truly didn't like him or had it out for him or whatever? Which is
like, then you shouldn't be teaching because that's not cool. Like, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be pinning like really serious crimes on students because you don't like their attitude. Like, that's not cool.
Or you don't like them because of the background they come from.
Yeah,
or,
which means exactly. She was racist too. That's not really explored.
No, not at all.
She's a very, in some ways, she's the weakest, like, character-wise. I'm just like, mm-hmm. she just has a lot of stuff, weird stuff going on. Where she's like, she was, like, the most, she was a big track runner.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's just, like, she retired or something. And, like, it's not like she had an accident, I don't think. Mm-hmm. That's not part of her story. At least I don't think it is. No, and so. Or was it the falling down the stairs was the accident?
Dun, dun, dun. That
Which then it really that couldn't have been because, more of a thing.
Right, because she would have been a coach by that time anyway. So
yeah.
That didn't cause her to become a coach.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been maybe she was doing both and then she just... But yeah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, she's kind of like the antagonist, kind of, but she has no teeth.
You know, like, and she's not really an antagonist either because she's... It's just like at the beginning, she's like, no, he can't run.
He can't do it.
And it seems like she's like genuinely ableist, by the way, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, well, he needs someone else to run with him. And then the dad's like, okay, I'll get someone. And she's like, well, they've already been practicing. And it's just like, okay, it seems like you really don't want a blanket like on your team. And she's like, well, then maybe, but like we have to check the insurance. And you're just like, okay. Like, it makes her seem like she really genuinely just doesn't want the hassle of a disabled
person. Exactly, because it's all the usual crap that people like us go through.
Right, right.
And it's then all the excuses that able-bodied people come up with.
Exactly. And then you're like, okay, so she's the villain. And then it's they try out. And she's just like, yeah, you're definitely up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. See you at practice tomorrow, buddy. Yeah, yeah. No questions here.
Well, and they just like kind of stop at the middle, which also I thought it was funny. There was some multiple bad reviews where they were like, this is nothing like track field. You don't just run for practice. That's not what you do.
Well, but it's brought up a couple times that they're doing cross country running.
Oh,
that's a different. That's a whole different thing. Track and field and cross country are different things.
I think they were talking about cross country in the reviews. I just said the wrong thing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But
because that was my first conflict with this movie. It was like people were freaking out. Like, there needs someone to be run. He has to have someone to run with him. And I'm like, no, you don't. I've run on a track without a guide before. That's tethered running. It's easy. Like, you literally just close your eyes and go. Like, there's no...
Unless, you do it with a tether.
You do it with a tether. Unless some asshole puts something in the way and doesn't tell you, you're fine. But then I realized, oh, it's cross country. Okay, yeah, no, he definitely would.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I'm like surprised that he could even do it with a... Like, you have to so not have asthma to, I guess, like how Julia, they set up that she couldn't be doing cross country because she's asthma.
She's got asthma.
Because I'm like, they're just like, they're sprinting and talking to each other. Like, how the hell do they do that?
Yeah. Just, yeah. No, all of the running in this movie gave me major anxiety because I don't like to run. So
it's terrible. And I was just
it's
like,
awful.
How are they speaking? Like, just the fact that they were carrying on just like a normal conversation while running. I was, even the dad, when he was doing that, I was like, this is a superhuman. What do you mean?
And the dad is out of shape, technically.
And he's like having a full conversation while running with his kid. Like, you can't. Like, I can barely breathe. Like, I can. It's hard to continue to be standing when you run. Talking is so far from what I would be able to do while running. I like can't talk for like 20 minutes after I'm running.
Right. I mean, I suppose, you know, runners and athletes, there's a way to do all that stuff and have a conversation because actors have to do it. I mean, if you think about...
I guess they did.
Sure. Well, yeah, they're acting and they're doing it and they're really running it. But if you also think about, like, an example my teacher used was, you know, if you're on stage in Romeo and Juliet and you and Tybalt have this huge sword fight, you know, it's a very athletic and very, very heavy movement. And you have to get out these words. You have to you have to have these soliloquies and fight this guy.
Yeah, it's hard.
You need to have the breathing and the muscles to do that. So, yeah. So you, there's a way to do it.
Am
I good at it? No. But there's a way to do
it's, it. It's kind of weird, though. It's like kind of a way in which people who have like asthma or different respiratory conditions kind of can't do things then, which I don't know. Is that ableist? Leave us a voice message and tell us if it's ableist or not, that you're expected to do these things if you're performing. I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I struggle with this a lot, like, because I especially, like, now with masks and stuff, like, I have trouble, like, speaking for very long. I'm, like, presenting a paper tomorrow, and I'm like, I have to talk for 17 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to be dying. Like, it's a lot. And I probably can sit down,
They haven't raised the mask mandate for the union yet?
I don't know if it's going to be masks required yet, but I've been practicing at home, and I've had trouble breathing without a mask on. Way, it's going
to
be hard.
Well, and you learn. And again, I'm not an expert at this, but you learn a special way to breathe. It is breathing. Well, running and acting. I mean, and I'm not saying they're the same, but it is breathing from your gut. It's taking the air from the bottom instead of like the middle of yourself or your throat.
People always say to do that, and I have not gotten that to help yet.
Lie on the floor and breathe.
and just practice. I know. I've had that as a practice method, and I still don't understand how it works. Like, it's just like when I try to do that, I mean, maybe I just haven't gotten enough to be automatic because I have to think about it.
Yeah, well, and granted, I still mess up and don't do it all the time because I still constantly am messing up my voice, and I wouldn't do that as worse or as hard if I was breathing correctly and projecting the way I should. But when you,
I don't know, it's hard. I feel like there's a physical capability problem too.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure.
It's hard to say, though. It's like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing that's so frustrating.
Because, I mean, the whole reason why you lay on the floor and breathe like that and you're resting your hands on your gut is so you can feel it go up and down. And that's where the air is supposed to be coming from.
Right. Which I can feel what my stomach is doing from every moment. Like, I have proprioception. Yeah. I know what it's doing. so I'm always like, when in meditation, we're like, you could put your hand on your stomach. You're like, what? Just pay attention to where your body is. But, you know, people have different levels of proprioception. I'm sure that's, you know, all part of human diversity. But I have enough proprioception that it is confusing to me why you would need to do that. Mm. But it's hard to breathe. I can tell where I'm breathing, but I cannot.
Yeah.
I can't make it work very well.
Sure.
That's
kind
of what I found.
You also have asthma, which affects your ability to breathe. So.
Right. And that's the problem is it's like I never know how much of it is like, is this skill-based? Could I learn how to breathe in different, like, because there are skills where someone who doesn't have asthma could breathe better. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, how much of those skills are available to me and how much are just going to be pointless because I still just can't do it? You know, it's like learning how to like read faster for me. And I'm like, that's not helpful if I'm reading with my eyes. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I have a wonderful friend who I went to college with, who had asthma. She has a wealth of health problems, not just asthma. Wealth is not a great way to say that. She has her fair share of health problems, and she also lives in Canada now with her wonderful husband. They're amazing people, and I love them. But she went through the whole process of voice and doing theater things and everything, and she is incredible. And it would just suck because I always was like, I know she can do it, and she can do it better than me and better than anyone else, but she could do it even better, you know, if she didn't have asthma.
Well, was she able to like do what other people without asthma could do?
I mean, well, she could do it, but it would tax her. If she really pushed herself, she could do it. But then it was, you know, we have to go sit down for 20 minutes. Hey, or she has to go.
I think you're supposed to stand or lie down.
Yeah. Or she has to go on the machine that she had.
Oh, yeah. Or do like an inhaler. Yeah. I mean, this is the problem that I've been struggling with that because I don't know how much it's worth to push it. I mean, that's what I learned from being a blind person and constantly when I was a kid pushing it. And then it was just all I'm doing is living my entire life with a really bad headache and unable to do anything. Well, and because, it's just like, what am I gaining from
this?
Right.
Well, because we're living in the mindset that we have to overcome our disabilities. Right. You have to be better than your disability in order to be a good a member of society. And I'm like, right. We should be taught that we have to learn to live with
right. And like embrace the things that we right. love doing. And sometimes that might be something that involves like some level of vision. But if we can make it work for us, then mm-hmm. It can involve the amount of vision we have. And we shouldn't be trying to be something that our body doesn't do, because what's the point? There's no point in doing that, I think. Like, it's like enhancing your body. It's just like, when is that ever really that helpful? Even for abled people, what's the point? Like, why not just learn to love how your body works now? I think it's just like, for me, it's always that weird thing of like, breathing is just so fundamental too. Like, seeing is like truly not fundamental. If you can't see, if you have absolutely no vision, like your circadian rhythms are gonna be kind of messed up if you have no light perception. Right, and society is gonna be a pain in the ass for you. But like, other than that, it's not like you can live, 95 and like, nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You're not nothing wrong with you, but it's nothing wrong with anyone, but it's just, you can live without without sight, just yeah. full stop. Yeah. Whereas without breathing, you can't live. You can't live for a very, you can live for a minute and then you will die, mm-hmm. Or 2 minutes or whatever. It's like, you can live for such a short amount of time without breathing. And so there is that weird thing of what, it's, is it different then? Does that make asthma different than blindness? Because blindness is so just just really does not affect your ability to live and exist in the world, whereas not being able to breathe does. But I don't know. But is there any difference? I don't know. I'm really not sure.
Well, then I think that it becomes a game of my disability is worse than yours.
Right.
And that's definitely, that's not a game anyone wants to play.
I have both of them. So I'm coming from a perspective of who cares? I have both of them. But I think, I guess it's just I'm trying to figure out how much I should use blindness as a road, as the roadmap, mm-hmm. and say I shouldn't do physical exercise, mm-hmm. because I'm just gonna hate myself for it. I think that's a big question. It's how much is it worth figuring out how to push yourself? And then I don't have enough information to know what my body can do, so that's also hard.
I don't think it's should I do enough physical exercise to hurt myself. I think it's what if exercise is something that you want to do. If that is something that you want to do, how can I modify this, or what can I do to make this work for me?
Right. Which is something I've struggled with asthma.
Right.
Because it's especially with blindness too and dyslexia, it's if someone's showing me how to do something, then I don't know what they're doing. And so I'm going to do it a much harder way. And then I'm not going to be able to breathe because I've exerted mm-hmm. myself way more. And so it's kind of this whole matrix of I'm not getting what I need. And so that's part of it. But at the same time, it's when you learn how to do something, it's that's when you're the most gassed from doing it. And so it's always mm-hmm. that there's such a large learning curve. So then it's do you push through the learning curve, and then do you stop pushing yourself at a certain point and stop learning more and just do what you can do without dying?
For me, going through movement at conservatory, it was a constant battle of, can I not do this or do this as good as everyone else because of my disability, or literally because of my physicality, or do I just not want to? I mean, I found out I could do a whole lot of stuff that I didn't think I could do, because all my life people have said, it's probably not the best thing for you to do.
Right.
And you can't, and in actuality, I can.
Right.
And I can do it. And I'm definitely not in great shape at all. So it's going to be harder no matter what for me to do something, to execute a movement as fast or as pristine as everyone else can do it. But then it's also about learning about your body and accepting that's just how my body does it.
Right.
That's I can't do a perfect wall sit or a perfect horse stance, or stand there and hold it for 2 minutes or whatever. But you know what? I can do what my body can do. I mean, that's what one of my teachers said. It's not about comparing myself to other people as far as, I'm only going to get the roles because if I'm skinny and, blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing. And she's like, it's about being comfortable with the size that you are.
Yeah.
And being comfortable with the way your body is. And I guess, and then I guess if I really, truly wanted to change, I would wake up tomorrow and run a mile.
Do you want to run?
No.
Then don't fucking do that. That's fucking stupid.
No. No. I don't want to run. But, you know.
Never run if you don't want to run, guys. Like, the only thing people get out of running is they enjoy doing it. So if you don't enjoy doing it, don't run.
Right. It was really fun to watch these guys run because it looked like they were loving it. Like,
yeah, just, and I'm like, this seems like, terrible, but you look like you're having so much fun. And sometimes it can be fun to vicariously live through this.
Hell, I kind of sort of wanted to run a little bit after I watched this movie.
That's so
like,
funny.
Yeah. And then I think about how it actually feels, and I'm like, no.
I had the opposite thing. I was like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll start running. But watching this movie, I was like, oh, yeah, running is terrible. Like, as I just could, I kept empathizing with them. And I was like, how are you doing
this? give me a bike. I'm like, yeah, put me on a bike. I'll ride a bike.
I really
sure.
liked riding a bike Bikes as a kid, fun. But I have to learn echolocation, I guess.
Right.
Because I just, I have a little bit of, with peripheral vision, when you move, you can see things, but there's a bunch of stuff that bikes just go too fast for you to be able to react to. So it's not possible.
I mean, yeah. When I say bike, I mean like stationary exercise bike. I definitely don't mean I'm going to go get a bike because that's never going to happen. Yeah. Because I am so paranoid and there's no way that will ever happen. But,
me too.
But stationary bike, set me up in at the gym or at the community center or whatever on a stationary bike. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess for me, I'm like, I liked biking when I was a kid before I was diagnosed. And then like the freedom and how much quicker it is than walking. Mm-hmm. And how you still don't have to wait at a bus stop, which is for some reason just makes me so frustrated. Like, I would rather walk an hour and 10 minutes than wait at a bus stop for like 20 minutes and then have a 20-minute bus ride. Bikes are just like, it's like you get the best of both worlds, except for you can't do it if you're blind.
Well, because I wouldn't be allowed to ride on the sidewalk, and I'm not going to ride in the street.
Yeah.
No, that's a recipe for disaster.
I mean, I would be terrified in the sidewalk, honestly.
Yes. That
would be scarier for
Why do you think I don't ride a bike?
I mean, of course, I don't ride a bike either. I mean, some blind people do. It's just like,
sure.
You know, and there's less rules, so you're less likely to get, you know, a cop is less likely. But it is pretty dangerous if, you know, there's not a lot of ways where it's not dangerous to ride a bike. I mean, but riding a bike is already sadly pretty dangerous because of fucking cars, so doesn't really matter. Even if you are sighted, it's still somewhat dangerous. But yeah, I don't know. But you know, you can run, I guess, if you have a partner.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like tandem.
If you have a reformed First Nations boy to run with you.
Who's also as fast as you. I mean, it's just tandem running. It's the same as tandem biking.
Yeah.
Honestly, as long as someone else is driving, like if we're riding a tandem bike, I'm fine.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Then I don't have to use my eyes. I just have to use my feet.
Right. And that's another thing. Yeah. You can always have support as a blind person to get. It's just like you can have an inhaler. You can't have as much supported breathing usually other than inhalers. And other kinds of machines, but humans can't really help you unless you're like actually have cardiac arrest or something. then they can do that like, oh, well, that's still a machine, but you can do like, what is the thing where you breathe and you do the compressions?
Oh, CPR?
CPR, thank you.
Okay,
I don't know why. I couldn't remember party earlier. I mean, for like a D&D, I'm just having random.
No, I'm having the same problem. I could not remember potential for the life of me yesterday at a show. I couldn't remember.
Oh my
potential.
God, that always happens to me when I'm in a show. I'll just be like, I mean, it happens to me all the time. So I just even notice it when I'm in a show. But like, I'll just be
all
like,
these,
you know, the word.
All these images are floating through my mind. The word, that word. I wanted to tell. I want to say. Oh, forget it. And then you leave. And then, not 10 minutes later.
You remember what the word is, of course. Yeah. Yeah, no, that happens to me all the time.
I think we've run off the path a little bit.
Oh, very funny.
Are we ready to rate this?
Yeah, is there anything else that at the beginning that's If I Had Wings is the title, and so they put it in Braille and they spell it W-I-N-G-S, which made me mad because you would not spell it W-I-N-G-S in Braille, you'd spell it W-I-N-G. S. It's yes. Three characters.
W-ing S.
Yes. The little U that has the dot 4 instead of dot 1 for all you
That's
Braille heads.
The one. Yeah.
the ing sound. But yeah.
I could never remember ing.
I know. It's a little, it's the ones like SH also, because just the M, but with the, but with dot.
All of those.
Six instead of three. Yeah.
Yeah. All ing, SH, ST, CH.
Ugh. Oh, well, STCH. Because I remember C, because SCH is one and six. And then ST is three and four.
Yes.
But I remember because S is like, ST is later in the alphabet. Mm-hmm. And so it's down. The first dot is down. Sure. And CH is higher in the alphabet. That's why it's dot one.
Oh, I like that.
So that's my little mnemonic.
That makes sense. Okay.
Our new podcast where the season Braille reader talk. Is taught by the like very new Braille reader. that'd be a fun podcast. It would have half a listener maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Us.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, hey, if you let us know if you would listen to Braille Talk with Sky.
We'll talk about Braille.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But that is my little Braille corner for this movie. And then other than that, that is the movie. I'm sure there were other things to talk about, but they should have been gay. ING is one character, and asthma is different than blindness, ? That is the movie. Okay, Melissa, what are you going to rate this?
Oh, you know what? This gets a 2400 for me.
Nice.
It's just, you're right. It's just wholesome. It's fun. It's sweet. It's not super offensive. It is something that I could definitely show my parents or just, it didn't feel like, you know, inspiration. it felt honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
More than I thought I would.
It was. I did too. I mean, I weirdly think that I think there's something in the blind high school boy does sports, which always makes them just kind of silly and not super offensive. I'm going to give this a 2300.
Oh, wow. That's high for you.
It's very high. I just thought it was really sweet. It's, you know, it's not like a good movie, the traditional sense, but it's, you know, we watch a lot of movies on this podcast.
Right. For something that you randomly picked out for doing this podcast where we have to watch a movie. It was a good movie.
Yeah. This was one of the least depressing weeks of this podcast when I was watching it. I was, you know, I really did not know what to expect, but you know, we watch a lot of movies that make me sad or angry or depressed in some way.
Definitely.
So this was just really sweet. And it, like, I mean, in the end, the messages were, like, pretty decent. Just,
pretty,
you know,
great.
Humans are humans. I liked that he was kind of a delinquent. I liked that the delinquent kid got to be, like, you know, I think 23 Blast was like did that, but then also it just seemed ridiculous, and it seemed like they weren't focusing on the friendship, even though it seemed like the movie was supposed to be about the friendship with a similar kind of thing. And I like that this movie like super leaned into it, that it was really about their friendship, and I just found that I thought that was a more interesting and compelling aspect of the story.
Yeah,
and
it isn't just about the big game or the big race or the big event or whatever. It's the little things.
Right.
It's all the stuff leading up to it.
And that it was as much about Brad as it was about Alex. And that the moral really was just like, you know, they were, I love what he says, that they were talking about the whole team, like, you know, didn't accept us or I think was it that Brad says that the team didn't accept him. And then Alex is like, but we're the team.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, that's so sweet. It's just cute. It's like,
who cares about everybody else?
Yeah, exactly.
It's about our relationship and our friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. So I liked it. It was like, the way he looks light almost. With less of the like obvious. I'll be like the IMDb commenters and I'd say like ending was weird, but what are we doing in 2 weeks, Melissa?
Well, in 2 weeks we're gonna go back to trash, basically.
Oh, fun.
Super fun. Okay, in 2 weeks we are watching the 2018 classic In Darkness.
Not to be confused with a million other movies and TV shows we've watched.
Yes. In Darkness. This has a 47% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Woo-hoo.
Our favorite. So, yeah, it's a thriller.
My favorite.
It's another thriller, murder thriller thing where, like, a blind woman is a witness to a crime or something.
Oh, my God. How many of these do we do?
Some dumb premise.
Isn't she a pianist?
I think she's a pianist as well, yes.
And it's not about Nazis in the sewers, which correct, would have been way more interesting.
Was the movie we wanted to watch. Yeah. it stars Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones, so that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I guess.
There's so many characters in Game of Thrones, I couldn't tell you who she played.
And she probably can see.
Yeah. Oh, we know she can see. She's on Game of Thrones. Or was on Game of Thrones. Not that you can't be blind and be on Game of Thrones. But like.
I mean, maybe we would know about it. I don't know. But if you watch it?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
And so you would probably know. Is there a blind character?
Kind of. Hmm. Kind of. Bran.
Do they go blind?
Kind of.
Okay, but are they sighted at some point?
Yes.
Then they're probably a sighted actor.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely a sighted actor.
Okay.
But
it's just like usually we don't get to play sighted people as a character. Right. So usually you know it just even the question mark if we would be in something.
But when he had to take off his glasses to act, he was basically blind.
Okay, but you're not, for the record, everyone, legal blindness means you, with best correction.
Right. You have 20/20 vision. So
if you have glasses that give you 20/20 yes. vision, you have 20/20 vision.
Exactly.
And it's kind of weird because some people might not afford glasses, might not be able to afford glasses. And that's a whole other argument that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But if you come up to me and take off your glasses, I'm like, I'm actually also blind because without my glasses, I'm legally blind. I'm like, no, you're not legally blind.
Right. My dad with his glasses off has worse vision than me. But with his glasses on, he can drive a car. So
there you
not
go.
Not blind.
You do not have our life experience. Sorry, guys. If you don't have enough money to get glasses and then come talk to me and I'll give you an exception because, you know, let's chill. I'll allow that. But if you can afford glasses, you are definitely not legally blind.
You can't be in our club, so
yeah. we're now in middle school.
Lord.
We've watched enough movies with teenagers
completely regress.
Yes, exactly. I hope there's a middle school blind character movie.
We'll
that'd
find,
be fun.
If there is,
if
we'll
there
find
is, we'll
it.
Find it. Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. What is your blind aside words?
Oh, yeah. So speaking of Game of Thrones stars, I actually have a really cool blind aside this week.
Ooh.
I treated myself to a dinner at Studio One Theater.
Nice.
So yummy. Had the King Salmon. It was real good. And I saw Cyrano.
Okay.
Which stars Peter Dinklage. Who was also
in
on
Game of Thrones.
And it's
disabled people in Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
The one.
Yeah. But no. If you ever needed, you know, confirmation that Peter Dinklage is a badass and an amazing actor, like, this will give it to you. It was really, really fun. It is this really kind of odd musical. They turn it into a musical, but it doesn't feel like we're going to stop now and sing, you know, a song about how someone is feeling or whatever. All of a sudden, people will just start singing.
Interesting. Is it like, do they sing part of the plot?
They just, no, not necessarily part
it's
of the
still
plot.
Emotionally
they're just,
driven.
It's still, yes, it is still emotionally driven, but they're singing. And it feels, the songs feel a lot like songs that we would come up with when doing an improvised musical.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I love it so much.
That's fun.
It endears the whole thing to me. but yeah, Peter Dinklage plays the title character, Cyrano. And in this version, the whole nose thing is dropped. And it is just about the whole reason why Cyrano is ostracized is because he's short. And at first I was really nervous because I'm like, I really don't want it to be about his disability or about a disability. But honestly, it works really well.
Okay.
And the music is really fun, if not weird. And you get to see Roxanne totally fuck this letter, which is pretty great. The song that they're singing is also pretty great. So
nice.
I really liked it. I had a really fun time.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So Cyrano.
Cyrano.
That's what I, yeah.
This is based off of something that I don't remember what it is.
So it's based off of the play Cyrano de Bergerac.
Oh.
Which is, in itself, has been redone multiple times, most famously in the movie Roxanne with Steve Martin.
Okay.
So, because his love interest is named Roxanne. So it's the story of Cyrano
and Roxanne.
You don't
have to put on the red light.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
But does she put on the red light?
No.
Okay.
No. She can think
she didn't
her,
have to.
She can think for herself. She's a free and independent woman.
Yeah.
But it But I very much enjoyed myself, and it's just fun and silly and so melodramatic. But I was kind of here for silly. It. Yeah.
Almost, you know, melodramatic works if it's leaning into it in a way that's not too. It's not Les Mis, you know.
Right. And I mean, if you're going for one thing, it's Peter Dinklage's performance. I mean, he kills it.
That's fair. Only Game of Thrones related content from now on. Melissa, just Melissa, actually. You bring to the podcast will have some Game of Thrones connection, like the rest of the world for a while.
There you go.
But I don't know. Are people over Game of Thrones now?
God, yes.
I think they are.
But HBO sure as hell is not.
Yeah, they're cash cow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to talk about something on HBO yet. I'll do that later. Not this week. I'm going to talk about a book that is... it's not actually, you know what? It's not a book. It is a lecture series that you can get on Audible.
Ooh.
It's not very much like a book, but technically not. It is about language, sociolinguistics. It's by Deborah Tannen, it is narrated, hosted, I don't know, it's like kind of like a class, but you hear a lecture.
Right, like a lecture series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She does, my parents actually really love her, because she did a book about how, like, men and women are socialized to communicate differently. And, ooh. Like, I kind of wish, I don't know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's before we really talked about gender queerness at all, so it doesn't really involve that at all, but it is like I do like that in some ways she posits it as like you're brought up in different cultures if you're assigned female at birth or assigned male at birth,
sure.
So it's not like genetic or anything, which, you know, is a smart thing to make clear, but the title, just to say of what it is, that's not what I meant, the sociolinguistics of everyday conversations.
Cool.
But it is just about like different ways that we talk, and she talks a lot of just specifically about like conversational styles and how like, you know, agonism is a word that she uses, where it's like, you know, like kind of like being playfully like fighting with people, you know, or and how different cultural traditions communicate very differently, and like even just like how you pay attention is different in different cultures.
Kind of like how Japanese conversation is a game of bowling, but American conversation is tennis.
Oh, I've not heard that, but that's good.
I love that's like one of my favorite analogies when you're talking about conversation.
You just kind of wait for roll the ball and then you wait. Whereas like in America, we're like,
it's the back and forth, the giving and receiving of information. Whereas in a Japanese conversation, and I don't know if this is so true now because we're so westernized, but in a Japanese conversation, it's very much we are going to take our turns, and then I'm going to say my thing, and it might relate to your thing, but it might not. But we're all going to take our turn.
Right. Whereas like the interrupting conversation style, which I have, where it's like this weird thing of like I have to learn when people are not interrupters to just like I'm not always very good at it, but I've tried to get better just like stopping and letting someone talk, because if I'm, you know, naturally speaking, I will just interrupt when I'm ready to say something, and if someone keeps talking, then I will just talk louder, and it's just that's how you have a conversation.
you'd be a horrible conversationalist in Japan.
There are places that I would be very good at having conversations and places that people would just think I was a terrible person and I would have to really adjust to the way. But I love that she talks about how, you know, a lot of times people will say like, oh, this person is terrible, they talk so much, like I can never get a word in edgewise. Like someone who doesn't have an interrupting conversational style, you know, is going to think that, when it's like literally the person is like, why is this person, like this person must not be bright, they're not interrupting me to talk, and so they must just have nothing to say, you know, and like, and so it's like you make these assumptions about people when it's like entirely just how you've been brought up to have a conversation. And so like it's really interesting. I think it's cool. It's like it is a complicated issue, and there are a lot, like it just comes up so often in life that it actually really does help to understand this stuff. And I think that just the differences that people have it's good to know, because we do make a lot of judgments about people based on differences. Like, I think that's definitely true. And I know that as someone who's grown up in places where I have a very different conversational style than the people around me, people have made a lot of assumptions about me that were not fair. But also, I had made assumptions about people because I didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. So, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to think about. So yeah, that is, let me make sure I'm getting all the things right. It's a long title. That's not what I meant. The Sociolinguistics of Everyday Conversation, hosted by Deborah Tannen. It's the a lecture series from Recorded Books. But it's on Audible. Nice.
Yeah, I'll listen to that because I really enjoyed the book on swearing that you recommended.
So. Oh yeah. I know. I looked at the books I've recommended. I'm like, three of these are about like some linguistical thing. I don't know.
It's a topic that interests you. That's interesting. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's... Well, do we have anything else? We did all the things.
I think we did it. Yes. I think we did it.
Okay. We are having wings and flying away from this podcast. into darkness.
nice.
This is, hey, I did better this time than recently. Our theme song is by Lucia Fasano. Our YouTube is Citizen White Cane Podcast. Our Twitter is White Cane Pod. Our Facebook and our Instagram are both Citizen White Cane. Our email address is citizenwhitecanepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voice message, there's a link in the show notes.
Sports. Are you disabled? Do you play them? Do you like them?
Yeah. Have you learned how to trust other people based on a scheme that your probation officer dad had with a delinquent teenager?
Is bullying just as bad as in Canada as it is in America? Because according to this movie, it is.
Yeah. And would you let your kid watch a movie that has the word ass in it? I don't know. Any of those things, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a voice message and come back in 2 weeks. My yes. mom was two like, weeks. You said 1 week.
2 weeks.
Come back in 2 weeks. And we will be doing In Darkness. So mm-hmm. we will find out how dark it gets. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
'Cause it was right. You are handsome.
Oh, you got some smart fingers there, too.
So Julie said that. Well, that and you have a nice spot.
Well, you're just gonna have to take her word for that one.
Good. Yeah, good.